This is City on the Hills podcast. We hope this message becomes a revelation in your heart and will encourage you to live a Christ-centered life. Thanks for checking out our podcast. Here's today's message.
Well, friends, what a privilege that we have to be on this journey to discover the heart of our Father, to experience His heart, to experience His goodness, and to know His grace and His closeness. Remember, over the last few weeks, we've just been learning how you and I can literally experience the heart of the Father. We can encounter Him and know Him, that the destination of Christianity is the Father, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Him. And we saw last week how the younger son actually didn't want the father to live anymore. The younger son said to the father, "I wish you were dead. Give me my stuff. Give me a third of the inheritance. I want to take it, a third of everything you have. I want to go and I want to do my own thing." And then we see how the father restores the younger son back. And the father then gives the younger son a new robe. Remember that? He gives him a robe. That's a new identity. That's a brand new identity. He carries a brand new cloak of righteousness. He actually gives him a new robe. He also gives him a ring, the family ring, meaning that he could now be fully restored as a son. He's no longer a slave, or he's not a slave or a hired worker. He's actually a son, and he gives him brand new shoes. He gives him a new gospel. And so we see how the father then restores him and brings him into a place of closeness with the Father. And that is what Christianity is all about. That is what our life here on earth is all about. That's why Jesus said, when you pray, pray, "Our Father who art in heaven." Our Father is the one that provides for us. And you might be here today. You might be far from God. You might not have a relationship with Jesus. And you might be either like this younger brother that just ran away. And today is your opportunity to come home to the Father. We've learned that home is not a destination, it's not a place. Home is a relationship with our Father. But today I want to talk about the fact that there's not only younger sons that are far from the Father, older sons are also far from the Father. And so what many people have done over the years is they've told the prodigal son like this. They just said, "Hey, it's just like the first two parables. It's like the one sheep that's lost. It's like the coin that's lost. And here's the son that's lost. And now he's found again." And they literally stop right there. But today, things are going to take a bit of a different twist. We're going to see how you can be far from the Father while living with the Father. You could be on the estate and be far from the Father. We're going to see today that it was not only the younger son that was away from the Father, but it was also the older son. It was not just the younger son that said, "I love the Father, not only for the Father, but I love the Father for the stuff I can get from the Father." The older son was exactly the same. They just expressed it differently. And this is really challenging because I think there's a lot of older son in me. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of older son in me. I grew up relatively good. I felt like if you're a good person, God's going to save you. God's going to look after you. You're going to go to heaven if you're a good person. God's going to do good things to you. If you do good, you get good. And so I used to think, man, I'm not as bad as those bad younger sons. You know, those ones that are on drugs and those ones that sleep around and those guys that do those kind of things. I'm not like them. I mean, I pray every day. I learned, read your Bible, pray every day. I learned all those kind of things. And I remember feeling like, really, you know, I deserve to be saved because I'm a good person. I remember my parents took me to Sunday school. My parents said to me, "I need to read the Bible," and I prayed. And I learned one thing is I've learned that Tim Keller said this. He said, "You are more wicked than ever dared believe. And yet you are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than you ever dared hope." Can I say that again? You are more wicked than ever dared believe. And yet you are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than you ever dared hope. And so what happened to me was I thought, man, I'm a good person. I do good things and I don't do all these bad things. So I'm not so bad. And I learned that outside of Jesus, outside of Christ, outside of Him and His love and His acceptance and His free gift of salvation, I'm a wicked person and I'm far from God. And so we're going to carry on the story in Luke chapter 15, verse 25. It says, "Now his older brother," this is the youngest son's older brother, "was in the field. And as he came and he drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing." Now, many of you might be saying, "What? Music and dancing in the father's house?" Yes, I'm here to say to you that Christianity is a party, man. It's a place of music and dancing, man. If you know God, if you follow Jesus, it's a place of enjoyment. It's a place of joy. It's a place of grace. It's a place of peace. It's a place of experiencing extreme happiness and joy. That's what Christianity is about. Maybe you might be finding yourself in this time of anxiety, in this time of turmoil. I'm here to say to us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. God has invited us to a feast, to a banquet. And that's the Father's house. The Father's house is a place of music and dancing. And then it says, so he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And verse 27 says, and he said to him, your brother has come. And because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. Now you must understand, remember we looked at this, he made a massive sacrifice because the youngest son is home. And this means that the father is probably saying, what? I mean, I'm loving the fact that my son's back. I'm throwing the biggest party of my life because I love the son. But listen to this. The oldest son, I thought the oldest son would be happy. I thought the oldest son would be like, yes, my brother, I haven't seen him. I'm so glad he's still alive. Yes, my brother, I want him back. I've missed him. No, the oldest son doesn't think that. See, the oldest son is thinking, this oak. He took a third of our father's life. He took a third of everything this family owned. He took it for himself. And then what did he do? He went and he wasted it. And now he's coming back. And the two-thirds that's supposed to be mine, I'm now probably going to have to share it with the son. So the oldest son, the older brother is not too happy. And you might feel like an older brother at times because it says, but he was angry and he would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. You might be listening to this and saying, Mark, I thought it was only younger sons, younger brothers, that's far from the father. But I'm realizing today that I've been far from the father because there's two ways to be lost. You can either be lost in worldliness, or you can be lost, literally, you can be lost in religion. You can be lost in doing what's right, doing what's good, or you can be lost in being worldly and far from the Father. Both of these are far from the Father. And I just need to thank the Lord today for my physical father, my earthly father. As I spoke about him last week, he was a real gift to me. But I remember how my earthly father showed me the Father. He showed me how what love looked like. My earthly father, I remember one night, it was 8:30 on a Sunday night, and I broke down in Johannesburg on the N1 highway. And as I broke down, I remember thinking, oh, this is the end of the world. You know, it's a busy place. It's Johannesburg. It's a difficult thing. And I phoned my father, and the next day my father took a day's leave. He took time off work, and he bought the part that was needed for the car after asking me what's wrong with the car. And then he bought this part, put it in his car. He drove through to Johannesburg, got under my car. We jacked it up together. He got under my car, and then he put this CV joint back in, and we drove back home together. And I remember things like that, that my father always literally went above and beyond. My father always looked for ways to support, waking up early in the mornings, often 3:00 in the morning to go and fetch us at places, sacrificing financially, supporting us, going to our sporting events and being there for us. And even though he wasn't always able to do everything he wanted to do, everything he could do, he did. And having a father like that helps me because now when I come to my Heavenly Father, I know that my Heavenly Father's got a heart for me. I know that my Heavenly Father cares for me because my earthly father showed it to me. And so now I have that expectation with my Heavenly Father. The problem is, friends, is that many of you watching today have not had that kind of father. You have not had that kind of experience. Your father was maybe not there for you. And like we've heard, Rory said, majority of this country's fathers have been absent. And the world, that is probably one of the biggest problems today. The enemy is stealing the revelation of the Father by making earthly fathers absent. And if your earthly father's been absent, it's hard for you to believe that your father could come out and he wants you in the feast. He wants you in the party of this amazing journey with him. He wants you close to him. It's difficult for you to believe that your father will come out and plead with you. Like I've heard my father come out, my physical father came out to plead with me once when I was proud and I was arrogant and I was struggling to find myself. And my father pleaded with me. I'll never forget that. Showing me the Heavenly Father. And I'm here to say that even though your earthly father might not have been that, it's confirmed today that your Heavenly Father longs, he pleads for you. He wants to bring you back in. He wants to make you part of the feast of heaven, the eternal feast. And today is your day to encounter the Father. Today is your day to encounter this Father that comes out. And if you are a father, or maybe you're going to be a father one day, could you connect with our Father in heaven today and ask him to show you how you can reflect him to your children? And so next week, we're going to be touching on the blessing of the Father. You don't want to miss next week. I believe it's going to be one of our biggest Sundays. The 31st of May, we're going to have an amazing time just experiencing the Holy Spirit. It's Pentecost, and we're going to experience the blessing of the Father. But let's continue with our journey with the oldest son. It says in verse 29, it says, "So he answered and he said to his father, 'All these many years I've been serving you. All these many years I've never transgressed your commandment at any time.'" See, this guy say, "I've been a good boy, man. I've been good. I've been doing this all these years. I've been slaving. I've been serving for you, serving you. I've been doing what's right." He says, "And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends." See, he's feeling like, "God, Father, I deserve this stuff. I deserve some good." And he's saying, "You never did anything good for me. You never helped me. You never gave me anything." And watch what happens. Is the father, I'm sure the older brother is feeling cheated. He's feeling cheated because he's feeling like he deserves it. And some of you might feel like over time, because you've done good things and because you've maybe prayed and because you read your Bible, you feel like you deserve the Father's blessing. You deserve the blessing and the favor of the Father. You deserve some good stuff. And this son clearly does not think, because he doesn't think like a son. He's thinking like a servant. He's thinking like he's looking at everything he's ever done, and he feels like that justifies his blessing. And it makes me think of that parable that Jesus told in Luke 18. Remember, Jesus told this parable in Luke 18, and he was literally addressing the same thing. So Luke 15, he's speaking to tax collectors, sinners, and he's speaking to religious people and teachers of the law. And what does he do? He literally teaches them how to engage with the Father, and he's blowing their minds, because I'm sure while he was talking about the younger son, the religious guys, the Pharisees, were saying, "That's exactly the people that we are against, and those bad sinners, they need to come to repentance, and yes, yes, yes." But then Jesus is turning things around and he starts talking about them. And today I want to talk to you about the fact that I believe that even if you can be lost as a religious person or as a sinful person, and Jesus explains that a little bit again, because I believe this is such an important theme that God wants to bring home for us, because so many people fall into this trap. It says in verse 9 of Luke 18, it says, "To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable." So if you anything like me, I have looked down at people that you know, drink excessively and smoke all sorts of stuff and sniff stuff and that are sexually addicted to pornography. I've looked down at some people and thought, "Oh God, you know, I'm not so bad, you know, I'm feeling quite good. And I've been quite confident in my own righteousness." But it says in Isaiah 64, it says, verse 6, it says that our own righteousness are like filthy rags to God. God rejects our own righteousness. When we trust in our own well-being and our own well-doing, it's like filthy rags. And verse 10 says, now Jesus is telling the parable. He says, "Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector." So now he's talking about the most holiest type people in societies, the Pharisees. And the worst of the worst, the tax collectors. You know, the scum of the earth, like we've spoken about. Now watch this. Jesus is putting these two together. Now, I mean, I'm sure these guys are like, "Yes, that's right. We're going to see now. If you're a Pharisee, if you pray and you do everything right, then you're going to be good." But watch what Jesus says. Jesus says in verse 11, "The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, 'Oh God, I thank you that I'm not like all these other people. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collectors.'" I've prayed like this. I don't know about you, but I've prayed like this. Where I'm like, "God, you know, at least I'm not as bad as those other people, you know." Husbands, I've heard this thing. Husbands say to their wives, "Hey, you must be thankful. I don't drink like the other guys, you know. I don't sleep around. And you must be thankful. Hey, you know, I'm here at home right now. I'm not drinking and stuff. You must be thankful, you know." Have you ever done that, husbands? Watch out. I've done it before. Don't worry. It's not a good thing. See, what we do, religion, what does religion do? Religion compares. Religion always compares. Even in the church world, I see it all along. Religion compares. Watch what he does. He says, "I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get." This guy's, he's a next level stuff, my man. This guy fasts twice a week. I mean, I don't know many people that fast twice a week. I don't know if you fast twice a week. This guy's fasting twice a week. And watch what he does. He says, I give a tithe. Now, that's amazing. He's looking at his financial contribution and he's looking at his spiritual devotion and his disciplines. And he's saying, I got this covered. And because I've got these things covered, man, I'm better than other people. Man, he forgets that actually, without Jesus Christ, we are more wicked than we could ever imagine. Watch this. Verse 13 says in Luke 18, but the tax collector stood at a distance. And he would not even look to heaven, but he beat his breasts. And he beat his breast and he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Watch this. One man saying, God, you must be so happy to have me in your kingdom. Another one saying, I'm not worthy to be. Just have mercy on me, God. Have mercy on me. Two guys come to God the Father. And Jesus says, watch this. He says, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. Listen to this. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled. And those who humble themselves will be exalted. Could we have a fresh Christianity again where we know the Father? And if you know the Father, if you really knew the Father, you know what you would do? You would humble yourself before the Father. You would humble yourself and say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I can't do this in my own strength. Lord, I'm not good enough in me. Lord, you put your robe on me because my robe's not good enough. You put your ring on me because my ring's not good enough. Put your gospel on me because my gospel of works and earning your love is not good enough. That is justified. But if I put my hope in myself and I'm like, look at me. Well, like Jesus said, it's only the sick that need a doctor. Those that don't need, think they don't care. And James 4 verse 6 is a key word for us. Because our Father, I believe, resists the proud. But he gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud. But he gives grace to the humble. And so what happens in our parable, Luke 15 verse 30, we go back to the older brother. Watch what he says to the father. He says, but this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood. Remember, he took his livelihood. With harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. He doesn't deserve it. That's what the older brother is saying. He's saying, this guy doesn't deserve anything. And I've seen us, as older brothers, we get like this, eh? Someone gets saved. We think, no, they better jump through some hoops. No. How can they get the blessing? Then they start prophesying. They start praying for sick people. Sick people get healed. We're like, Lord, what about me? What's going on? You know, I mean, I do all this stuff. Why don't you? And then God starts using them powerfully. And we start thinking, no. We deserve more because we feel like we are better. Makes me think of a story that I've heard. And I could have some of the details wrong. But this was what happened. A preacher, a pastor, and Charles Spurgeon were walking in the street. And this pastor was quite fed up with all these kind of like these homeless guys, these guys that were drinking, sniffing things and literally just sleeping on the streets, being homeless, these homeless bums. And this pastor was saying to Charles Spurgeon, he says, I can't handle these guys, you know, like they make the place look bad and they smell and they're dirty and they drink. I can't handle them. And Charles Spurgeon looked around and he says, but by the grace of God, there he goes. Charles Spurgeon. See, Spurgeon had a revelation that he's nothing outside of the grace of God. He had a revelation that he could just as well be in the gutters, because if it wasn't for Jesus and if it wasn't for the free gift of salvation and if it wasn't for his relationship with the Father, he would have nothing. It's only the grace of God that he's not in that. And that I think God needs to touch our hearts and give us compassion again for those people that are broken, those people that are caught in addiction, those people that are far from God. I'm thinking people practicing prostitution. I'm thinking people addicted to things. I'm thinking people that have had struggles and people that are in debt and in financial turmoil. And we kind of feel like, you know what? Friends, we're living even in a country right now where people have had such a backlog. They've got such a backlog. And we expect them just to come right and just to be like us. But by the grace of God, you and I, we could be living right there where they're living right now, in the exact same circumstances that they are today. See, Tim Keller would say that we need to be melted and moved by what it cost our Father to bring us home. We need to be melted and moved by what it cost our Father to bring us home. I want to ask you to not fall into the trap of the older brother, to not fall into the trap of trusting in your religion, trusting in your good works, and being deceived, thinking that you're with the Father, but actually you're far from Him. Being like an older brother that becomes judgmental or focuses on how good you can do and how you can perform so that you can be blessed, and just becoming legalistic. Older brothers become quite legalistic. I want to do what's right. I can, you know, it's all legalistic. It's all about crossing every T, dotting every I. I'm always right. Friends, what about the day that you make a mistake? And if you put your hope in every always getting it right and always knowing all the answers and always knowing better, what if you get it wrong? What if you do lose a contract or you do go through a difficult time? What then if you've got it all together all the time? See, the gospel of Jesus Christ is not halfway. You're either in the Father's house or you're an older brother in the field or you're a younger brother in the world. And I believe that the Father is seeking us to repent, not only of our sin, but also of our religion. So today I want to ask you to repent of your religion if you're facing religion. And we all have a little bit of that. We need to change the way we think. We need to come back to the highest place, to the Father's house. Verse 31, the Father says to the Son, Son, you are always with me. I can just see the Father saying, and I'm wanting to say to you religious older brothers like me, I want to say to you today, the Father is saying to you, you are always with Him, and He's always with you. He's never going to leave you. The Father is saying this to you. He's saying, all that I have is yours. We're not talking to Zalab, a little goat, or even the fattened calf. I'm talking about everything is yours. Stop living like a slave on the Father's estate. Older brothers, I see religious people that focus on themselves and their ability to perform and their ability to do good. They lose sight of the fact that everything is theirs. They live like beggars on a beach of gold, like that old song used to be. It's they've got everything, but they don't experience anything. They don't enjoy anything. Why? Because they believe that they need to earn it. They believe they need to take hold of it for themselves. They need to make a plan. They need to earn their way. And they need to prove themselves. Verse 32 says, it was right that we should make merry and be glad. For your brother, he's talking about your brother. He says, he was dead and he's alive again, and he was lost and he's found. So you know what the sad thing about this whole parable is? Is that the older brother, at the end of the parable, the older brother stays outside and the younger brother's inside. I've met too many believers that became older brothers, Pharisees, and that they can tell you all, they can quote all the scriptures, and sometimes they can tell you everything, the right things, but they're not in the Father's home. And then you get these undeserving younger brothers that are feasting with the Father. I want to ask you, will you feast with the Father? Will you lay down your pride? Will you lay down your self-righteousness and embrace His righteousness? See, I remember for myself feeling like I need to earn my inheritance. And when Rory said, the first week when Rory said that I get inheritance for free, when he spoke about inheritance, I thought, no, man, I get my salvation for free, but I work for my inheritance. I need to be obedient in order to take hold of my inheritance. And the Father said to me, no. Show me one place where someone worked for their inheritance. Show me one place where the will was read. Say, for instance, my father left me his estate, and he left me an inheritance. Do I have to earn it? No, my father earned it. My father paid for everything. My father worked and he accumulated the wealth. He accumulated that estate. And then that became my free inheritance. It became my gift. An inheritance is freely received. The only difference is that you cannot access it if you're not positioned for it, if you're not aligned for it. That's what obedience is. Obedience is response to the goodness of the Father and is coming into the home, because inheritance is enjoyed when you and I come into the home. That's what we need to do. But can I earn it? I can't earn it. It says in Deuteronomy 9, God's promising the Israelites an inheritance. And remember, what happened with Israel was a picture in the Old Testament of what God's desire and heart is for every believer today. Watch this. God is saying to Israel, He's saying, not because of your righteousness will you take hold of your inheritance, but because God is wanting to bring about holiness and justice. He wants to eradicate wickedness. It's about God's glory. It's about His kingdom. It's about His faithfulness. It's about His love. It's about what He has done for us. It's about Him. And so our inheritance is not based on us. And you know what happened to me? I kept on thinking, if I can just pray harder, if I can just read more scripture, if I can just help more poor people, if I can just serve more, if I can just give more, if I can just try harder and even be more holy, because you know I must be holy as God is holy. And so if I can just make myself more holy, then I'm going to take hold of my inheritance. Then I'm going to actually get more of the Father. And actually those things, when I focused on them, they kept me out of the house. They kept me out of my Father's home. I remember sometimes, you know, when you focus on what you do in order to get the Father's blessing, when you focus on what you do, you know what happens? When you do well, you feel proud of yourself. And when you miss it, when you have a bad day, when you get angry, or when you make a mistake, guess what happens? You feel down. You feel like a failure. Have you ever felt like that? I felt like this. I feel so amazing. Wow, now I'm amazing. And you know, this is what happens. So part of my inheritance is I can see the sick healed when I pray for them. Part of my inheritance is I can make a difference. I can see the gospel preached. I can see lives changed. Part of my inheritance is I can take hold of these things. And so what I do is, because I do good, I feel like I'm more eligible to take hold of it. So you know what we do is, when we pray for sick people and I haven't had a good day, I feel like I can't take my inheritance because I feel like I need to earn it. Sometimes my prayers can be answered because I did good. I almost treat, you know, I've treated God, and I need to repent before you today. I've treated God like Santa Claus, and I don't even believe in Santa Claus. Be good this whole year. If you've been good this whole year, then you're going to get big gifts. If you do good, then you're going to get a lot. Now, Paul had a revelation, and I would like the Holy Spirit to come and set you free in your home right now. To set you free. This is my prayer. Is that you and I will come to the end of ourselves so that we can be at the start of Him. That we can come to the end of our performance. That we can live at in the grace of our Father. We can live in the home of our Father. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 9, I believe, gives us the way to live. Paul's saying, he's speaking about this thorn in his side. And this thorn, many theologians have grappled with what this thorn is. And I'm here to say to you, friends, that I believe God divinely just chose not for Paul to disclose what the thorn was, because this could be relevant to each and every one of us. A thorn could be speaking of a shortage or something that harms you, or something that there's a discouragement in that area of your life. There's a shortcoming in that area of your life. And this thorn in your flesh means that you're not enough. Now, Paul had a lot to boast about. He was a very devout religious person. He had a lot of knowledge. He was blameless according to the law. So Paul had a lot to boast in, but he had this thorn in his side. There's always an area in your life where you are not enough. There's always an area in your life where you need the Father. And watch what the Father says to Paul. My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, says Paul, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Could I say this to you today? That when you and I are weak, that's when He's most strong. When you and I are at the end of ourselves, then that's when we come to the beginning of Him. Could we change the way we view ourselves? Could we stop thinking that we need to be this amazing people, that in ourselves make it all happen? But could we grow in our dependence? Could we yield to the Father? Could we grow in our dependence to the Father? I remember Manny Pereira many years ago saying this. He said the Father challenged him to start living like a son. Living like a son. A son lives in dependence on his Father. A son lives under the pleasure of his Father. I want to learn. Manny said this. We need to think like a son. We need to pray like a son. If you pray like a son prays like differently than a servant prays. A servant says, I've done X, Y, and Z, so I must get. A servant says, a servant mentality, a slave mentality in the kingdom is, I must do to get. But a son says, I have a relationship, so I experience. Act like a son. Act like a son. Make decisions like a son. Walk like a son. Pray like a son. Live life like a son. Live like a son today. I want to ask you to live like a son. If you're far from God yet today, you might be far in a religious way, where you've trusted yourself, you trusted your own works so that you can have the inheritance of the Father. Or you might be far in a worldly way where you've just run away from the Father. These two ways, if you've been far from God today, will you come home to the Father? Will you hear the Father pleading with you to say, please come home, my son. Stop trusting in yourself. Come and find my grace. Because I believe we need to recognize that even though there's an older brother in all of us, the Father is pleading for us to lay down our pride and to humble ourselves, to repent of our religion, and to repent of trying to perform for the Father's love. Maybe what you could come and do right now is you can come into the Father's house today. And just there where you are, I want to ask you, take some time, let the Holy Spirit minister to you. And maybe some of us need to forgive some younger brothers today. You might have a younger brother, I'm not talking physically, I'm talking about spiritually. And you see them, just they don't deserve it, but they receive it. And you know what, you and me, we don't deserve it either. Let's receive. Today, could you and I receive a restoration of greater closeness with our Father? Because we don't trust in ourselves, but we trust in Him. If you're far from God in any way, I want to pray for you quickly right now. And then I'm going to pray for us that are close to God. But I believe this is for all of us. Lord Jesus, today, I want to thank you that this is not a coincidence that we're talking about you wanting to bring us into your home today. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, right there where you are, right now, just minister to every person in Jesus' mighty name. And if you're far from God, you can pray this, Lord Jesus, thank you that you are the way to the Father. Thank you that it's not in my performance that I can be saved. Thank you that I cannot earn your blessing or your love or your acceptance or even your salvation. I can't earn it. I want to receive today. And if you're close to God, I want to pray this over you. Could you pray this even after me? Lord, I just want to pray today for every one of us close to you. That when that older brother rises up, when we feel like we become, like we earn and we deserve, and yes, we did right and we did good. Lord, those days, may we lay that down and embrace you. I want to pray for you that sometimes you felt like so disappointed because you've messed up. Could you live free and could you experience the pleasure of your Father today?
Thanks for joining us for today's message. Don't forget to check out our website or visit City on a Hill International on Instagram or Facebook for our updates, celebration times, or ways you can get involved. We are also streaming our message on Facebook Live, so make sure you join us or share the post. Thanks again for checking out our podcast. We'll see you soon.